The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Wednesday, 25 February 2015. Talking with a woman here that has written a book, Methodical Illusion, that if you think you know what has happened on September 11, 2001, it's time to revisit this. Because this fundamentally changed our government and their protocol with dealing with terrorism. Remember, folks, they did this on September 11, 2001 because they hate us for our freedom. So promptly, what did George Bush do, and subsequent presidents did everything within their power and some that is not delegated to them to strip us of our freedoms. And This is an issue that will never go away. It will never go away. I mean, just recently, Ron Paul, Rebecca, I wanted to mention this before we get back into the salient facts about September 11th. Even Ron Paul came out the other day and said that, look, the United States is the one that did this thing in Kiev in the Ukraine to flip that government. This is the same thing that we're doing with Assad in Syria. There have been 220,000 deaths in Syria, over a million in Iraq. And it has all been based on what?
An illusion.
An illusion. That is exactly right. And this is so important that people understand. You know, here we are in the middle, still in the middle of an economic meltdown with absolutely no way out except monetizing our own debt, pumping billions of dollars into Wall Street, and to give the illusion that the economy is there, it's still workable, and we have over 50 million people out of work in this country. They have spent over $6 trillion in the last 13 years in the Middle East alone. $6 trillion. For what? Because they hate our freedom? I mean, in Iran, Ahmadinejad's Iran, you had Jews, and you had Christians, and you had Muslims. You had varied people from different walks of life and different religious beliefs coexisting with no problems inside of Iran, but they had a taste of the United States government in 1953 when they bounced Mossadegh out and put the Shah of Iran in there. I mean, this has been going on for a lot of years. We have caught them in many lies. Vietnam, same thing. It was completely staged and an excuse to wage in a war that is never ending. Well, they've got the sweet spot now. Now it's ISIS. By the way, we dug up off of C-SPAN, Rebecca, from 1990, where they had somebody from the State Department on with Brian Lamb on C-SPAN, and they were talking about Israel and the Mossad. They don't like to be called the Mossad, so he'd ask him point blank, well, what would you like to be referred to as? Israeli Secret Intelligence Service.
Bingo.
Bingo. And they, you know, they plan on the old memory flush in our brains, that somehow that we forget about things. Well, we don't forget. And we're chronicling and categorizing lie after lie after lie. In the meantime, we have a country that is melting down. Worldwide, economies are melting down. And all they want to do is try to start a war with NATO, with Russia, which Russia, I hate to tell you this, folks, still have more nuclear weapons than we do. We've gotten down to about 3,200 nuclear weapons. NATO cannot defeat Russia, but yet we're over there sticking a sharp stick in somebody's eyes, namely Vladimir Putin's. And Vladimir Putin, I don't know if you're aware of this, 2 weeks ago, came out and basically told the United States government, look, if you keep this up, I'm going to release our satellite photographs of 9/11, September 11, 2001. If you keep this up, he said, I will destroy the United States government. I will expose your lies involving September 11th.
And he will back up my theories and my book, because I know what he has.
You do?
I do. Uh-huh. And it's in the book. And it, I teach the reader how themselves to go onto a website and check my work. I found that, and I'm pretty sure he's probably got a satellite photo, and we'll get into this, how this happened and how it was done and how I figured it out, and what that is. So the illusion is very true. Remember the seven wars that were planned before 9/11 as part of the Project for a New American Century. The new Pearl Harbor was 9/11. But what they have planned next is horrific. And I'm not sure it'll be at the end of your show, but I hope you can listen to Clint's, because what they planned, I also put in the back of the book. And I found this on a website a couple years ago, and I believe this is what's planned, and this is why I'm talking, and this is why God has pushed me out the door and said, get out there, woman, and talk. We have to stop this one. What I read about 2 years ago on an online newspaper, and I believe it was from a site called Y, like the letter Y, XYZ, Ynet News. It was out of Israel. And the thing that was interesting to me, I'm going to jump right to this now, because this is really the important part of everything, except for if you want to know about what happened in 9/11. But this is the future, and this is why it's important, and this is why I'm talking, and this is what needs to be heard. I read this article. Luckily, I read it out loud to my husbands who were driving in the car, because it was scrubbed from the internet and it has never showed back up. It was an article claiming that the Israeli intelligence, that's the Mossad, had intercepted Al-Qaeda. If you don't know who Al-Qaeda is, Al-Qaeda was created by the Mossad and the CIA in the mid-80s to fight the Soviet Union. And they created what's called the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. They were on the CIA payroll. Osama bin Laden at that time was known as Tim Osman, and he was a CIA agent as well. Now, so here's what the article said, and what shocked me was I couldn't find any word of this mentioned in any U.S. news agency, not on the Drudge Report, not on any typical place where you would find the news. Because trust me, after I read this, I went and looked, because I thought, well, I just read the news earlier. I didn't read any of this. The plan was that Al-Qaeda was planning to launch an attack on five or six major U.S. cities, hitting every quadrant. Nearly every area of our country would be affected. They would start this on the anniversary of the fake SEAL team death. They didn't say that, but I'm telling you that. He died in December 26, 2001. Osama bin Laden died in 2001. Whoever they killed when the SEAL team went in there had nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. And all of the neighbors in Abbottabad will tell you that, if you can get them to talk, because there are some out there talking. So the article went on to say Israeli intelligence had intercepted an Al-Qaeda plan to launch several attacks on the anniversary, which is May 2nd, of the death of Osama bin Laden. And it would go on for 9 days until May 11th. And you just heard me say 9/11, didn't you? That these would be in five or six major cities with a day or two in between each attack. And they would be biologicals, chemicals, and or nukes, dirty or otherwise. And if that happens, or when that happens, we will be under complete and total martial law, and it's over for us as a nation. Okay? That's my main point of doing this, because that's how I, that's what they uncover in my book, and that's what I uncovered driving down the road. And luckily I read it, or my husband would think I was insane, because by the time I was reading this on a brand new computer iPad, I didn't know how to bookmark or save anything. So I just remembered the dates and the details, because that's what I do. I'm good at dates and details. And when I went back home to my laptop, it was gone off the internet. So it was some sort of flash message to somebody that that's the plan. Now, it may be in coinciding with the Jubilee year, which is 2015. It may be coinciding with the stock market crashing or something else that we maybe don't know about. But that was a plan that Israeli intelligence was claiming Al-Qaeda was planning, and it was not, I repeat, not in any U.S. news agency. And this was five or six major cities in the United States. Now, if our best friend in the Middle East, Israel, had actually found intelligence to say that, why in the world would that not be on the cover of Drudge and ABC, NBC, CBS, and everywhere else that's carrying news? And every blog in this country should have been posting that out. That's what shocked me.
Yeah.
That's what shocked me. I just told my husband, you know, we know who Al-Qaeda is. That's us.
Yeah.
Well, these are the same people who planned, coordinated, and planned and executed 9/11. And I can prove that to you. And it's all laid out. I don't cut any corners, and I'm not, I didn't go into this to make a fantasy story. I went here because I knew that two of those airplanes definitely didn't crash at their sites. Wasn't sure what the heck happened at the other two sites. So I knew there were four aircraft somewhere with four loads of passengers and four loads of crew members.
But how?
That's what I set out to find.
Yeah, and about that day, the supposed cell phone calls that were being made to loved ones. Now, this is 2001. Anybody that's in an airplane knows that you couldn't make cell phone calls. You couldn't do a continual call because you're in and out of cell range, especially at altitude. What can you say about that?
Well, that's correct. And that's really what I used as my basis, was my own personal knowledge, because I commuted, remember, from the East Coast to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Which meant I rode as a passenger a lot. Every time I went to go to work and come home from work, I commuted from one coast to the other. So I had lots of times to play with, will a text message work? Well, do I have any cell reception? Can you hear me now? You know how the commercials went, right?
Right.
And so I did that. I remember one day standing in a 757 aft galley area while they were boarding with a bunch of flight attendants, and we all had our phones. It was around the year 2000, 2001. And we were, just the fact that the airplane is made out of aluminum and has all this wiring and stuff in it, it's like a Faraday cage on the ground. We were at a major U.S. airport. None of us had any decent reception. I think one of us had three bars, but nobody had the full five-bar reception. We all had different carriers, so we were all, do you have any bars? I have one. I have two. And the aircraft itself, let alone being at altitude, but even today, unless you're on a specially equipped aircraft that has got some kind of voiceover, the internet type of connection to, like a Skype type of connection, some of them are equipped with that now, you lose cell reception from about 1,800 feet. Now, some people have called me and told me that they have small aircraft and they fly, they're pilots, and they turn their phone on when they get up, you know, a couple thousand feet, and actually across the front of their phone it says forbidden. So you don't have cell reception up there. But that was another one of the major first red flags for me on that morning, was, well, how can they be calling from their cell phone, especially from Flight 93? Flight 93 left from Newark. It was going to San Francisco, and they were in the air for 45 minutes. So it takes about 20 minutes to get a heavy jet, wide body, or 757 up to cruise altitude when you're going transcontinental like that. And so 45 minutes, you're definitely up there around 32, 35, maybe even 39,000 feet, depending upon the winds and your particular flight plan. So I was like, well, how did they have cell reception? And that was really the kicker for me that morning. I was like, uh-oh, there's something wrong here, because cell phones don't work. They just don't work. At altitude, definitely not that high. They don't work. You know, 2,000 feet, you're not going to hear much for very long. If you're in a big city, maybe, where there's a lot of cell towers, maybe you could pick up something for just a second or two. One of the things that kind of blew me out about that, I started then looking at these cell phone calls and the details that were given. And then I started to write down and make little postcards for myself and see how many people said the same thing. And lo and behold, if I didn't find the reason that the flight attendants weren't telling, well, first off, the FAA protocol was they should have sat down and not drawn any attention to themselves. The last thing you would do in a hijacking is make a half an hour phone call, which the first two flight attendants did on flight 11. Now, so I got the FBI transcripts from what those girls were saying, and I dug into those word for word, and I just got into their shoes. I thought, okay, well, if this were me and I were calling into reservations, which would have been crazy because you were always on hold for 20 minutes, that was the last place you would call into. I don't know why that is, but I've had lots of American flight attendants tell me that was the very last place you would call. And I wondered that myself, but I didn't fly for Americans. So I thought, well, maybe they have a special hotline or something for flight attendants. So she calls in 18 minutes after departure from Boston, and she says some things that really shook me up. She said, he, as in the hijacker is singular, one guy, he sprayed mace or pepper spray in business class, and we can't breathe up there. Well, she's sitting in the last row, behind the last row in coach at what's called 3R jump seat, which is in the tail of the 767. And then she says, I keep reading the FBI document, she says, he, again, the hijacker, one singular man, he stood upstairs. And then my heart dropped. Because there are no stairs in a 767. I knew right then and there they were in a hangar.
The only stairs that are in any aircraft, from what my understanding, is a 747.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so I knew they were on a 767. And then I went on to read where then she says, we're the first. And they were the first. They were the first hijacked plane. This is Flight 11 that supposedly went into the North Tower. She was on the phone with reservations for about 27 minutes. And, you know, because they sprayed mace or pepper spray in her pressurized cabin, if it were pressurized, she would not have been able to speak on the phone for a half an hour without coughing, choking, gagging, and having her eyes running. And she never mentioned any problem breathing. She never coughed or choked. And that told me that that pepper spray or mace was not being sprayed in a pressurized cabin at altitude. The stairways told me they were in a hangar. And when she said, we're the first, someone told her the scenario of the day, that there would be four aircraft hijacked. And then I looked at the other flight attendant who also didn't follow protocol. She said she was seated in the last row, second to the last row of coach, and that this other flight attendant who claimed she was sitting in her jump seat at 3R was sitting right next to her in the second to the last row of coach. And she also claimed that the hijacker, again, a singular he, was the passenger seated in 9B, and that he'd been stabbed. He was the hijacker. She called back later, just a few minutes later, and then she said, no, I made a mistake. 9B's not the hijacker. He was stabbed, and the hijacker was 10B. Well, a flight attendant would never call in and make a mistake and claim a hijacker is somebody that might be innocent, because when we bring that aircraft down and a SWAT team, Delta Force, or something else is going to come on, you're going to be gone. And so we wouldn't do that to somebody who might be innocent. You'd be darn sure when you pointed the finger at 9B who he was. So I took a look at who he was. 9B was a highly trained assassin for the Israeli Defense Forces called the Seirat Matkal. His friend said he could kill any human being using a pen and a credit card. He grew up in Denver, Colorado, moved to Israel when he was 14. He was fluent in English, Hebrew, and Arabic. So when the two men sitting behind him, what we are supposed to believe were Arabic-speaking hijackers, were planning to take over his plane for absolutely no reason whatsoever. They were talking. He was understanding. They were 2 feet away from his ear. That they decided to kill him. And if you can believe that, you can believe anything. Because this man was a Seirat Matkal special agent, highly trained assassin. He was also an anti-hijacking specialist, and he was trained in hostage rescue. If you aren't familiar with what Seirat Matkal agents do, you can find a good description on Wikipedia.
All right, we've got to take the break. 3 minute break. We'll be back.
Your money, What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
At this point, Rebecca, I still want to get in the black box thing. This is important information that has a lot of spider webs out there.
Well, they claimed that a black box was discovered later on after Flight 93, sometime, and I think it was years after, and also Flight 77. The other two they never found. They do not disappear. They should have at least been somewhere. Right before I got this book put into print, this September, on the anniversary coming up of 9/11, I spent a couple hours on the phone with a New York firefighter. And that's really what inspired me to get this out here, because one of the things I asked him was, what did you find of the firefighters that were in the tower? Because he spent a month on the pile. And he said, you know, the only thing that was left of them was their Scott packs, which is that little oxygen bottle on the back of their outfit, you know, the little metal oxygen breathing apparatus. And he said, other than that, a couple pieces of gear, there was no human body there. So whatever hit the tower, whatever happened in the tower, wasn't an office fire generated by kerosene jet fuel. It was so destructive. There's rarely ever do you come across any kind of situation or scene where the human body is gone totally. And he said that's really what they found was basically, and unless a firefighter was not inside the tower, maybe just on his way to it or just leaving the towers, did they find any human remains, just the equipment from those guys. And when I got off the phone with that, I told my husband, that's it. It's time. I've got to get this out because we are being so manipulated right now with ISIS and these wars. The next two wars, by the way, are Syria and Iran, of those seven wars they had planned.
And there's 220,000 dead in Syria. Assad is still in power. And as I mentioned, Iran, that's a country that they have no problems with Jews and Muslims mm-hmm. and whomever living in quiet peace with each other. No mm-hmm. turmoil. They do not have any nuclear weapons. They didn't plan to build any nuclear weapons. But we're going to cook up a scenario and an excuse. Mm-hmm. The rhetoric that I see now about the Middle East, and nobody is asking the questions that should be asked, the information that's been turned up that would blow that whole scenario right out of the water is never, ever, ever discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Discussed on mainstream media. It just will not be.
People are going to stop watching the mainstream media. They just busted Brian Williams for over a decade. He's been caught now in retrospect. He was allowed to lie, but now for some reason they've caught him, exposed his lies, and they're now hitting on Bill O'Reilly for doing the same thing. These are not the only two people that are supposed to be giving you news and useful information that are just lying and propaganda machines, and that's all they are. Well, the CIA basically runs our media,
they're
brainwashing you.
They do, and look who they mm-hmm. keep bringing up as experts, and mm-hmm. the Pentagon, Candy Crowley. Mm-hmm. It, folks, it is true. You can't put lipstick on a pig. It is true. Okay? And I keep seeing her being brought up as the Pentagon spokesman. This is, and you're absolutely right, this is all controlled, mm-hmm. tightly manipulated. This is a psyop of a grand scale. But people don't seem to grasp that. Well, in this country, a lot of people haven't figured out what happened with the economy. We witnessed uh-huh. the greatest ripoff in human history in 2008. Nobody has been charged. Nobody's gone to jail. Nobody's been found guilty. And nobody has gone to jail. I mean, the corruption is so deep, that it's almost impossible for some people to get it through their head that the grand lies that have been spun, the grand deception that it could actually be done. Well, mm-hmm. we're sitting here telling you about a seminal event that changed everything in this country. I mean, without restriction, they're allowed to listen to you. They're allowed to read your emails. Information is being gleaned from everybody in this country. And for what purpose? They're on the hunt. They're looking for the bad guys.
They're looking for people that are waking up and spreading the truth.
You're damn right. And there's a lot of us. Folks, it's time to step out into the light. Okay, we got the bottom of the hour break. Long segment coming up. Remember, we're doing a pledge drive. A donation for $100. You'll get this book, Methodical Illusion, signed by my guest today. $100. Call the network. Go to PayPal. Leave the note. Do whatever you can. Help us help you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Heart problems were in my family, and I did notice these chest pains occasionally. I decided to try it, and I don't think I'm going to stop for quite a while. Nothing has worked as well as this product has promised to. I've taken, supplements and that sort of thing, and never really noticed a difference.
Well, I turned 60, and when I went into the doctor to get my reports, the lady at the desk, she looked at it, and she says, "Wow." I says, "What's that say?" So she came back and looked at my last check. She says, "Well, you've gone down half on your cholesterol." So she says, "I guess don't do a thing, only what you're doing right now."
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
We are back. I'm mentioning the black boxes because of the technology, Rebecca, that things can be controlled remotely.
Well, again, that's what happened with the boxes that they did come up with. They, like Flight 93, they claimed that most of that last, it records the last, the cockpit recorder, the voice recorder, it records the last 30 minutes of what happened inside the cockpit. So if the guys are saying something to each other, or I should say, ladies and gentlemen, the pilots, because there are women pilots now. We used to just call them guys because they're almost always men. But if they were, the pilots were talking that, the flaps won't come down or the flaps are coming up on their own or they're saying something about the aircraft doing something, then that's recorded on the recording. And then also there's another one that's called the flight data recorder, and that does what basically records what the aircraft is doing speed-wise, altitude, attitude, whether it's upside down or at a pitch or whatever. And so that information is what they claim they gleaned from some of that, but most of the black box information on Flight 93 was blank, so they weren't really helpful. They couldn't get really the hijackers' voices saying anything, or they couldn't really get much information. So they don't disappear. They're always available, and there's two of them in each aircraft, a cockpit voice recorder, a flight data recorder. They are so indestructible that, I mean, they're like a cockroach. You cannot get rid of one of these things. But on that day, I believe they only years later claimed that they found one on Flight 93 and Flight 77. Like I told you before, Flight 77 wasn't even, the black box wasn't even one from a company that was servicing black boxes, giving black boxes, building them, selling them to Boeing in 2001. Sunstrand came later, according to the experts that I've talked to. So, and it was blank. It didn't have any aircraft attachment number to it in any of the computerized data that came out. Usually the first thing is, like, for instance, one of the things I noticed about the flight attendants is anytime you talk to your company in any reason for anything, and these flight attendants never did this, not one of them, you would say, I would say to my company, if I were calling in, let's say I was being crazy enough to call during a hijacking, I would say, hi, this is Rebecca Roth. My employee number is 876-592. You would always include your ID number, your company number. And they never did that, which was also one of my initial red flags why they didn't do that. I mean, you just don't go, well, I'm sitting here at the three right jump seat. There were things that were put out there that just didn't make any sense. Well, the black boxes being manipulated is just more of the cover-up. And I did find lots of covering up going on. Let me just touch on some of those first two calls from the flight attendants, because it was the details in these calls that kept me going back to what everybody was saying on board those planes. And that's how I really tracked down where they were brought to and how. And I'm going to explain that to you. Hopefully we'll have time, if not this segment, next. But it did happen, and it'll all make sense at the very end of all of this information. But those two flight attendants that claimed they were sitting in the second to the last row of seats on Flight 11 were giving totally conflicting information. One of them was saying there was a doctor and a nurse taking care of 9B, the highly trained assassin that got stabbed. And the other one was saying there was no doctor or nurse on board. They were completely in conflict. One was saying she was in her jump seat. The other one was saying they were sitting together in the last row of seats. 1 to 2 minutes before impact into the North Tower, we're talking Manhattan, one of the scale supervisors or who she was talking to on the phone, company person, said, "Where are you? Can you see out the window? What do you see?" Okay, every flight attendant that's been flying more than a month knows New York. It's pretty iconic. And you're in the air. You are now 1 to 2 minutes from hitting the North Tower. And she looks up. Both these flight attendants had flown over a year. One of them was 13. And the other one flew for, I don't know, 12 or something, 11. They've flown long enough to know where they were. And she looks out the window and says, I see water. I see buildings. Oh, no. And the phone went dead. And that supposedly was when they slid into the North Tower. Every flight attendant that has been flying more than 3 months knows Manhattan. It's not like any place else in the entire world. You would, especially at the altitude that the FAA and the NTSB claimed they were at that time. So I saw all these details and I thought, well, this is really weird. It's almost like they were in two separate offices in a hangar upstairs. Like she said, he stood upstairs and were the first. And it was as if somebody told him. Now, since the book came out, just a side note, I've had American Airlines people talk to me that knew these crew members. They knew the captain and the co-pilot, and they knew the flight attendants. And this is the problem. When a flight attendant or pilot puts on their uniform, we do one thing. We become a professional. We're no longer a mom, a dad, a sister, a brother, your best friend. We're the ultimate protector of the passengers and plane. That's what all of our training is about. That's what we do. That's why we show you where the bathrooms are, where the exits are, where those little white and red lights are, because it's all about getting you out if anything happens. It's all about maintaining control of the cabin. And so when I started to read through some of these things, and I was seeing that flight attendants were not only not following protocol, they were saying things they shouldn't, they were calling places they shouldn't call into, they were making phone calls they shouldn't have been doing. These are all the things that I kept putting together that directed me to, okay, well, here's the thing. Betty Ong, that first flight attendant that called, here's one other thing she said. She said this, "I don't know. But I think we might be being hijacked. And let me tell you this, if there's a hijacker on board, you know it. Nobody's going to, I don't know it, nobody's going to think they, maybe it's a hijacking. There's a hijacker or there isn't. And so when she said that, I realized that the crew didn't know they were being hijacked, and that's why the pilots didn't squawk 7,500. They thought they were having a mechanical. And then I got on to thinking, as I put my flight attendant shoes on, why would the girl working 3R, that's the aft galley position, and coach, on a transcontinental flight, why would she call the pilot within 18 minutes of flying? Because we're not even really at cruise altitude. That's not, we sit in our jump seats till we level off. And there would be no reason for her to call. That would be something the purser or the lead flight attendant would do. And then I thought to myself, yeah, she would, because if she's in the galley and she's going to pull out meal carts and beverage carts to serve breakfast, which is the first thing you do on an early morning flight like that, she would call the pilots only if the airplane hadn't reached cruise altitude, and Lord knows she would be calling him if it had started a descent, which it had, because they were on the ground when she was calling. All of these phone calls were made on the ground. And they were made, most of them were taken off the aircraft and made from an office.
There was something else that struck me about this. Now, airlines, folks, I mean, anybody that's flown commercial airlines and have been doing this for a number of years, your personal space has been shrinking. and it's not a whole lot of fun anymore to be flying, because you're almost the regular seats, whether you're in coach or whatever, it's almost like flying in a jump seat now. You've done a lot of deadhead miles. and I'm sure and flights that are full, you've got to sit in that jump seat, and it's not fun. They're not really comfortable, and they're rather small. The passenger manifest, usually when you have transcontinental flights, it's called rack 'em, stack 'em, and pack 'em. They're full. Why were these flights manifest? What was the capacity of these planes, and how many empty seats did we have?
Well, these planes were almost empty compared to the capacity of the aircraft. The only one that had any decent load at all was Flight 11. It had like 96 people or something like that. It had 11 crew members, and the passenger count was maybe 90 or so. Altogether, nearly 100 people on board. But now that's like very equivalent to a DC-10. I didn't see their seating arrangement, but you know, over 200 people. The 757 holds 180, so the 767 is probably around 230, depending upon if it's a first class, business class, a three cabin or a two cabin aircraft. But the capacity was roughly 200 for all four aircraft, just averaging them out. Flight 175 had something, you know, like 40 or so, 50 people. Flight 77 had somewhere near 30 or so. Flight 93 had around 30. So you can see that they were three quarters empty. And that was another thing that struck me that day was, well, my airline, we were jammed to the rafters on those kind of flights. So I always thought that was really weird that they didn't have a load. I did find out why that was, and if you want me to cut to the chase, I can tell you that the phone lines, and obviously reservations, phone lines were a part of this, were tapped and controlled. And so they more than likely didn't want to have 2, 4, 6, 800 people to take care of when they got them to their destination. This was a lot easier. There were about total 250 passengers and crew members of all four aircraft that they would need to get rid of.
Easier to control smaller numbers.
Much.
Because there's a lot of angry families. And what always happens in air disasters, whether it's pilot error, mechanical problems, hijackers, whatever, it's the inevitable lawsuits that follow.
Well, also here's the thing. There were not hijackers on board. There were handlers. These were professional, like the highly trained assassin. These are handlers. These are people that do this for a living. They've been well trained to do this. And what we think happened on those planes is that they were told they were part of one of the military war games going on that day. It was a dozen or so. And the pilots were most likely told when they filed their flight plan and operations that there's a war games going on. So when the handlers took control, and let me get to that take control. In the early 90s, there was a a flight termination system, which was sold to the airlines. This was made by a company that was, the CEO of this company was Rabbi Dov Zakheim. He was also the comptroller of the Pentagon under investigation for misplacing $2.3 trillion. He also was the CEO of SPC that made the flight termination system. The flight termination system was sold to some U.S. carriers. Quote, listen carefully, in the event of a hijacking and a hijacker took over the cockpit, we can control the plane remotely, land it, and then it will be liberated by the Delta Force, Army Rangers, or whoever's close by. Where I bet you're now wondering, why didn't they do that? Because we had four jets that had hijackers that were supposedly inside the cockpit that day, yet not one of them, even though they all had a flight termination system that was able to do this, not one of them was ever used, and nobody even thought about it. Well, it's because it was already in use. And what happens with the flight termination system? Once that airplane is taken over remotely, it's an operational system run on a frequency that also turns off their transponder. Once the transponder has been turned off and the flight termination system has taken over control, the pilots can no longer control the aircraft, nor can they communicate with anyone, including the flight attendants. Nobody, and that's another thing Betty Ong said, we can't communicate to the pilots. They're not answering their phone. We don't know what's wrong. But she knew, obviously knew something was wrong, but she didn't know if they were being hijacked or she didn't know what. Because there was pepper spray and mace, remember, that didn't seem to bother her breathing. But they couldn't communicate with the pilots. That also means you cannot communicate with air traffic control, other aircraft, or your company. So what I think was happening is once the flight termination system took over and those planes were landed, they were told by one of the onboard handlers, much like 9B, the assassin more than likely was, because there's no reason for him to be killed. I mean, there was no scuffle up beforehand. There was nothing going on. That they were told that they were part of a drill and that they would cooperate by handing over their cell phones and blah, blah, blah. They removed the two flight attendants, took them to offices, shut the door. And I think they told us in the, as they love to do, you know, this cabal, they love to let you know in kind of a, in your face, in plain sight. All of the passengers said, they have pepper spray or mace or something. On flight 175, one of the passengers reported at 9 o'clock, 3 minutes before impact, they have pepper spray or mace or something, and everyone is vomiting and getting sick, which doesn't happen from pepper spray or mace. But it does happen for gases that can kill you.
Now, the flight termination system, would that then go a long way in explaining how these aircraft did these super maneuvers?
No. These airplanes were taken remotely and flown gently right to their destination. None of that was real, and I'll get into that if we have time.
Well, actually, we're about 3 minutes from a break, and what I'm going to do, as Clint Richardson has been listening to the show and taking copious notes on the stuff that I have missed and the information that you have, he's going to pick up from me. And I appreciate you doing this marathon interview on Republic Broadcasting. I really do.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, we have a long way to go before we can start to relax and start to rebuild this country. But we have got to get the crooks and the criminals and people that should be in jail right now. Have you heard the latest, Rebecca? The latest is that just last Monday, Eric Holder, he's been holding meetings, and they've decided, they went out and made a request to the police departments to find out what the greatest threat to them is. And it's come back that it's the sovereign citizen movement in this country. Ironically, it has been the FBI that has been pumping this disinformation to the police department, so they check their ping to find out that, the number one threat here is the sovereign citizen movement to the United States government. Number two is Al-Qaeda, and number three is the militia. And this is going on worldwide. By the way, governments around the world are going to be instituting going after their own homegrown terrorists within their own countries. And this is a massive operation to go ferret out those that would cry foul. And I hope people are paying attention to this.
There's another thing that got my attention when I first heard someone say, why did Building 7 fall down that afternoon and they were called an anti-Semite? I went, what? How was this connected? And here's another thing that's happening. Around the country, France and Canada have already done that. It is now against the law to speak against Israel,
sure,
Jews, or Zionists, yeah, interestingly enough.
Well, and it used to be just anti-Semitism. Now they're coming out with a new brand, anti-Zionist. Because I've interviewed Jews from New Chicardi that are crying foul and going, look, we know the teachings, and guess what? We've been banished to the four corners of the earth, this diaspora. We are only to have our own country when the Messiah comes. Now, they're not in tune with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the whole Trinity thing. No. They're not down with that. But try going to Israel and standing on a street corner and preaching out of a Christian Bible. You won't be there for long.
That's correct.
All right. Tell you what, when we come back, I wanted to spend just a couple more minutes with you and then give you about a five-minute break if we can do that. I'm feeling your pain here, but I also feel something else, a duty to your country and you standing tall. And I cannot tell you how much we need that. Now is the time to come to the aid of your country. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start standing in the light and speaking loud.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
All right. I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you about a six-minute break here, and Clint Richardson on Corporation Nation that airs 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We're just going to leave your connection open. I'll give you about a 5-minute, 6-minute break there, Rebecca, and get ready for Clint. Clint knows a little bit about airlines as well, and you have spoken to him for a couple hours prior to the show. So, folks, whatever I have missed, Mr. Richardson will pick up on. So at this point, Rebecca, I am going to cut you loose, and I appreciate you rescheduling for today to do the show. And we'll hear you in a few minutes with Clint Richardson.
Sounds great.
All
right. Talk to you then.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very, very, very much. Folks, I'll tell you what. I will be the first one to admit that 9/11 was an inside job after years and years and years of the same old ground being covered. I didn't really have a big interest in it for the simple reason that there was so much other things going on. Now we have a fresh breath of air here with stuff that's being turned up that you did not know about. And what this is doing, it's allowing people to really understand, if they had any doubt whatsoever, of the cover-ups and the lies and the complicity and the outright psychopathic criminality that we are seeing coming out of this government. Am I anti-government? You damn betcha. I am anti this corrupt government. I am down with the vision of the founders and a constitutionally limited republic, not their damned democracy. Okay, so what and what Rebecca has agreed to do, if you will make a donation to this network, nobody has hit PayPal yet. If you go to PayPal, make a $100 donation today, you will get a hand-signed autographed book, Methodical Illusion, from Rebecca. Okay, you may want to get more than one book, all right? Because you're going to want to hang on to that autographed copy, and you're going to want to pass a copy off to somebody else. But for a donation of $100, we'll make sure that you get that book. Okay, I've spoken to the publisher already. We'll put those wheels in motion just that quick, and we'll get that book to you. Clint Richardson is coming on. The same thing. We're doing a pledge drive during his program. If you'd like to call into the network at 800-724-2719, that's probably the fastest way to do it. We'll take your credit card information. We make sure we have your address. A lot of people, when they go up to PayPal, they forgot, I wanted that book. And on books, Super Scam by C. Fenner Goldsboro, those books have been processed for those. We have been waiting for the publisher. They just got them in their hot little hands the other day. Those are being packaged and sent out. So nobody has been forgotten here. Nobody has gone under the proverbial bus. Everybody is going to get the books that we have promised to people. Go to PayPal, folks. Make that donation today. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Hit that donation button. Make that $100 donation or more, because we're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel. But we're also seeing other networks going by the wayside. One that I won't mention the name because he hates me. He's really pissed off at me, so I won't even mention who's winking out next. But we have discovered ways. And folks, this is exciting to me, because we're going to be able to whack out another $3,000 to $4,000 in expense in this network, and it will be cleaner, better, and better sounding than we have been in the past. I am juiced. I'm excited. Come on board with us, folks. This is the flight that's leaving, and we will touch down. We won't auger in. Thank you very much for being here. Stay tuned for Clint Richardson, Corporation Nation, with Rebecca Roth, the next 2 hours installment. Thank you. Thank you very much.
With financial